so you know. Listener-supported Christian radio for the Palm Beaches and the Treasure Coast.
Welcome to Kingdom Recovery. This is a live, spirit-filled program where no matter what chains a person to a prison of hopelessness, such as alcohol, drugs, sex, or even feelings, God can and will break those chains. Kingdom Recovery is a cutting-edge program where we discuss God's Word through focused teachings, open discussion, and life-changing testimonies. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Kingdom Recovery. I'm Luann Linneken, and I'm with...
James Rich.
You almost missed it, James.
I was waiting to hear
and,
Tom.
Well, you started to point at me first, and I wasn't ready. So it's a good thing you went to James. Yeah, Pastor Tom Karras. Yes.
Oh, so exciting. So, like I said, we were going to have Pastor on, and here he is. And thank God, because he's been teaching on identity, and I've been doing that just by chance. You know, God setting it up at the jail, so it's so good, and you want to talk a little bit about that today. But before that, I just want to remind the listeners that they can reach me at 631-745-7980 if they want any one of the books that Pastor Tom has written, and if they have any questions, if they want prayer, you can call me. And we are Kingdom Recovery here, and we're on Fridays at 5 on WCNO. So you're listening to WCNO 89.9. So we would just welcome you, and we hope everyone gets blessed by this topic of identity in Christ, your new man identity. And we'll start with whatever Pastor wants to start with.
Wow, thanks a lot.
Yes. Jeez.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, just over the years, you know, of being a pastor and being in the Word of God and being born again, I've seen a lot of people get stuck on certain issues. And if you get stuck on certain issues in the Bible or certain truths, you don't go any further. Mm-hmm. You get stuck there, and you may be there for 20 years. And there's some revelations you just got to get. And once you get that revelation, it's like understanding leads to understanding.
Amen.
And all at once, the door opens up and the windows open up, and you start to see things you never saw before. And one of those things that I learned that really changed me was the idea of identification of who you really are. And, you know, if you go back to Genesis chapter 1, you find out how God wanted man to be.
Amen.
And how he wanted us to be. He created us in his image and after his likeness, and he gave us dominion. But when Adam failed, Adam basically lost that identity for mankind.
Okay.
He became a sinner. He had a different nature on the inside. He was no longer had the kingdom. He no longer had authority and power. But when you got born again, and it's interesting that God would call it born again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we just go over that verse and think, well, born again. Are you born again? But being born again is basically being born again.
Amen.
In other words, spiritually, you're born. And if you take it in a parallel to the natural realm, you find out that even a newborn baby doesn't really know anything about itself, anything about the world, anything about how to do anything, eat or drink or even change its own pants or go to the bathroom. And it's the same way in the spirit realm. When we get born again, basically, you're born with someone who doesn't know too much about the spirit realm.
That's right.
You've been born in the kingdom of God. You are now a spirit being. You have a soul. You live in a spiritual body. And you have no idea who you are, what happened the day that you got born again. And if you don't understand that, it's very hard to progress in your identity of yourself and how to make the changes that God wants and how to grow, how to get back into his image and likeness and all those. So identity was one of the things that basically changed my life. And my favorite scripture of all time is 2 Corinthians 5:17.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody who goes to our church has it marked, I'm sure. It's, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature.
Amen.
And at that time when I found that, I found out that I was completely different than I used to be, which was good because nobody liked who they used to be before they got born again. So I found out I was a new creation. Then I had to go through the Word of God and find out just who I actually was. You know, and even Jesus asked that question one time. He says, who do men say that I am?
That's right.
And then they started throwing, well, you might be John the Baptist, or I think you're the Son of God, or whatever. But the same way with us, you are going to be in your identity if you don't find out from the Bible who people tell you you are, mm-hmm. or who your parents told you, or your grandparents, or your teachers, or the surrounding kids you grew up with, they will tell you who you are, and you will take on that identity because you really don't have one when you're born again. So it's important to have God's identity if you're going to grow back into the family of God and in the image and likeness of God. You're going to have to get from God's word itself, because God's the one who created you, and he's the one that knows who you are, what you're here for, what's going to happen. So basically, there has to be a change in your life where you find out your identity more than you deal with anything else.
Amen.
And I was taught, of course, sin, 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 sin. And I'm not putting sin down, basically, but everybody taught me about sin. Stop doing this and stop doing that. You got to quit doing this. And Lord knows I tried. But every time I tried to stop doing something, it mm-hmm. seems like I did it more than I did before I tried to stop doing it, because I couldn't do it. So I figured a way to do that, and the way it worked out was simply by the identity change in my life. It took place of a lot of things, or took the place of a lot of things in my life that I was having trouble getting out of my life and mm-hmm. feeling guilty about and condemned about and all that. So I just want to talk a little bit about with you guys about identity.
Amen, amen, amen. And, you know, today I was reading, Jesus calling, you know, only the bread.
Mm-hmm.
And it was talking about how even Jesus had to learn and to get the knowledge, you know, and how it said, just imagine as he was reading scripture, more and more he understood who he was.
Right.
Amen. You know, and through his blood, we get the gift of being able to have God's character in us. By his blood, we were saved. He took the penalty for us, but then we get, because we're born again, we get to have the indwelling of the Spirit in us, who leads and teaches us to be like Jesus, to have the same authority and power Jesus had mm-hmm. here on earth when he walked as a man. And he's not coming back until the end time back on this earth. So he's really needing our cooperation with the Holy Spirit to be able to fulfill all the mandate that he has given us through his word. But if I don't know his word, I won't know my ability, right. my potential, the things that are inside of me that I'm already equipped to do. Mm-hmm. But because of fear, worry, doubt, or maybe unbelief in what he did already and belief in something wrong, a lie, that I won't step out. That we say step out in faith. That is faith, to believe everything that the word says
mm-hmm.
is the true faith that God's talking about. You know?
Yeah, well, that is faith itself, simply yeah. believing the word. But after it talks about the new creation, it says old things have passed
Amen.
Away. And if you're going to bring your old identity into the new birth, you're going to struggle your whole life because mm-hmm. you're going to be claiming things that you actually aren't. You're actually got a wrong identity in your life. You know, some people are taught that they're a sinner even after they're born again. Well, mm-hmm. I'm a sinner saved by grace. Well, no, you're not a sinner saved by grace. You were a sinner, but now you've been saved by grace. And the Bible says we were sinners, but now we have been made righteous by
Amen.
The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And people say, well, I'm still sinning, so I have to be a sinner. No, you don't have to be a sinner because you're not a sinner according to the Bible. According to the Bible, you've been justified just as if I never sinned. So when you change your identity into someone being justified rather than someone being a sinner, you'll then start to defeat sin in your life because it's already been defeated, actually. And the Bible says, let not sin reign in your mortal body anymore. But when I was growing up, people said, well, everybody's got to sin sometimes. We all fail. We all fall down. It doesn't right. matter if you fall down 100 times, as long as you get up. Well, I got tired falling down and getting up. You know, I was running right. on a physical exercise, I think, mm-hmm. before it was over with. So I wanted to get to a place where I understood that I'm not supposed to be sinning anymore. I don't have to sin anymore. Mm-hmm. If I'm justified and made righteous, then why am I sinning? I shouldn't be sinning. So I had to change the way that I thought, actually, to see myself as a new creation. And the more I started to see myself as someone who was justified and who was blessed, someone who was anointed, someone who was powerful, I started to living in that and start releasing that from the inside of me, because that was the truth. That's who I really was, not who I thought I was Amen. When I got born again.
And, you know, this just applies to even in programs, you know, because that's the field I'm in. And also years ago I went into AA, and I'm still a member of AA, but I don't introduce myself as an alcoholic because I'm healed. It's already been done. I'm recovered. I'm done. I'm whole, right? But if I – and that's the thing. So it doesn't mean that – this is what Jesus was telling us. There might be trials and tribulations and temptations, but you don't have to live in that problem anymore. You know, it doesn't mean that, things aren't going to, some days aren't going to be more difficult, but I'm victorious through it. I'm the victor in it. I don't have to be a victim in trials and tribulations and temptations. God says you no longer have to live like that anymore. He gave us everything we need. And if I, and you know, I wrote some things because I have a teaching on this and some of the identity that we would identify ourselves as. And I wrote here, we can be either an unbeliever, and that keeps us drunk in feelings, emotions, people, places, and things, let's just say. And then we could be the wishy-washy person, and that would make us tipsy. Sometimes we're this way, someday we feel not stable, right? And then there's the believer who's sober-minded, and God says that. So even though I might, you know, have in my lifetime looked for myself love in all the wrong places, people, places, and things in my life, I no longer have to identify with that person anymore because I'm a new creation. So even though I still have the same family, I still, you know, I could be the same person. I don't have to wear those old clothes. Mm-hmm. But I'm still that true man that God created me to be. You know, I just woke up. I got born again. So.
And that's where the word comes in and has to come in because mm-hmm. we're natural people and we've been soul-led for so many years of our life that basically we want to go by our feelings, our emotions,
right.
and our conduct. Mm-hmm. So we're going to believe our feelings and emotions and conduct more than we're going to believe the Word of God at first. And that's where the Bible calls it, you get double-minded. But I found out I'd rather have somebody double-minded than just stupid-minded.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if you're not, you haven't become double-minded yet, and you're going to become double-minded sooner or later when you start to study the Word of God because it's telling you things you never knew. Knew before.
Uh-huh.
I mean, things that are hard to believe, that make it tough
yep.
to believe because, I mean, look at yourself in the mirror. That's not who I am, but it is who you are because, once again, you're a spirit being.
Amen.
And you live
Amen.
In this body, and
that's
the Bible
right.
says we're even one spirit with the Lord. So if we're one spirit with the Lord, that makes us pretty good people, you know,
yep.
now. And it was all done by Him. And the main thing is all this stuff that we talk about is for His benefit.
That's right. It's
for yours, but it's also for His.
Mm-hmm.
Because He created you, He had you in His will and His likeness. He wanted you to have dominion. He wanted you to live as a son and daughter. He wanted you in His image. He wanted everything for you in order for you to spread that image to other people. Well, if I get born again, then I don't get in a word, and I still believe I'm a sinner, a failure, down and out, no good, sickly.
Mm-hmm.
And how am I going to extend the kingdom of God to someone else who's already there? That's
right.
where they're living. So if I run into them and become their friend, they ain't even going to know I'm born again.
That's right.
As a matter of fact, if my troubles are worse than theirs, they're going to be glad they're not mm-hmm. born again because you've already told them all the bad yes. things. So you've got to understand there was a miracle.
Amen.
Everybody wants a miracle. There was a miracle by the blood when you got born again and you were completely changed. Your old person was dead and now you're alive and this new person is in the image and likeness of God immediately by a miracle. And you're just slowly finding out what all the miracle provided for each and every one of
Amen.
Us.
Amen. And, you know, as I was reviewing my life, you know, through being who I am today, you know, who God created me to be, I thought of times where I had to, you know, God was saying, so when I was going through infirmity, the spirit of infirmity, you know, trying to come on me, bad reports, I had to find my identity, and which means a scripture, because God defines me mm-hmm. in His word, right? A scripture that spoke about who I am, who He is in me. He lives in me. So who is I am in me is who I am if I'm a mirror image of who He is.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to, for myself, I had to find myself, my identity, and my purpose in His word, in His identity, and His purpose and plan for my life. Because it's, like you said, it's like a parent. He wants the best for me
right.
all the time. And so in Psalms 118, when I was going through that difficult time, and I took all the scriptures, the healing scriptures that we have, we offer it. If anybody wants that, you can call me 631-745-7980. We have healing and who I am in Christ cards. But as I was reading those scriptures, it said in 118, Psalms 118, 17, it says, I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. I had to, so when I heard a bad report, that wasn't my end. I had to rebuke that and say, no, this is who I am. I shall not die. I shall live and proclaim the word of the Lord. When a family member said, you know, oh, you don't look, I shall not die. I shall live and proclaim the works of the Lord. So I had to change my identity to match what God says about me. And I had to do that many times in my life. I had things where I had to separate myself from what the world told me, that I wasn't smart. I used to have spelling bees at school, and I was the worst. I out right away. Like, I knew as soon as they lined us up, I was out. Mm. Mostly because I didn't take the time to study. I mean, you know, I didn't want to. I didn't like it. It wasn't fun to me. And I already had this message that I was going to fail, right? So one of the scriptures that I had to put in my heart was in Matthew 28:18-20. Says, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey. That's one of the gifts I have, mm-hmm. you know, and now words are important to me. And I look up words, and he teaches me through words. But here I was. I had to change my identity. Say, well, God, if you want me to be a teacher, then you have to teach me how to teach. Mm-hmm. And then my identity turns into what he calls me to be. So it's good stuff.
Yeah. This scripture, going for what he was saying a minute ago, mm-hmm. just always worry I'm going to steal a scripture he wanted to give them. I know how that goes. You got scripture prepared, and the other person says them all. You're like, oh. But anyway. Colossians 3:9-10. Lie one not to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him Amen. That created him.
Amen.
Yeah, well, go ahead. You stole my scripture. Go ahead. And do what
you
want to do now.
Well, you gave that scenario, but then you didn't get a scripture. I'm like, I didn't know.
He does it in the word, right?
Because that's exactly what he was sharing. I was like, well, yeah. let's prove Amen. That with scripture, exactly what he was saying.
Yeah, and the knowledge is not about your natural you. It's about who he made you in the image and likeness of God. And, of course, in Ephesians 4, it says you got to put off that old person that you mm-hmm. were, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So this tells you that everything, the changes that you make are not really in your conduct. They're in your mind. And as you make the changes in your mind, then your conduct follows your thought life and basically lines things up. There's so many people who spend their whole time fighting sin, fighting their conduct, fighting their lying, fighting their cheating, fighting all that stuff. And you're not going to change that way. You're going to change by changing who you are, and who you are changes who you become and who you do,
right.
basically.
Yeah.
And that's the key to everything. If you believe you're a sinner, maybe you don't know that you're not a sinner anymore. Maybe you're in a church that thinks you're a sinner. Well, if you believe you're a sinner, it's natural for a sinner to sin.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not going to have any problem sinning if you believe you're a sinner. Now, if you believe you're righteous, it's going to be a little more difficult for you to start sinning, because righteous people don't sin.
Amen.
You know, it's very, very natural to do that. So you've got to understand what the Bible says and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So it's got all the way to do the way that you think.
Right.
And it's got to be renewing your mind on the Word of God. But you definitely got to. I just fought sin for so long in my life, and I was told to fight it, and I'd fight it, and I wouldn't win. And then they'd come to me and say, well, try harder, you know, do this or do that, and I'd do it. I still couldn't do it. Well, kneel down and try it, and I tried that, and come to the altar again. I came to the altar again. It just wasn't working until I found out if I just changed my identity,
that's right.
I would change the problems on the outside in my life. So basically, I decided to become a new creation. And when I did that, one of the first things I did was I tried to grow a mustache because I figured if I had a mustache and looked in the mirror, it would remind me every time I looked in the mirror that it was a new creation. And not only in the mirror, but my mustache was so bad, everybody made fun of my mustache.
So they knew.
So as I walked down the street, people would say, nice mustache. I'd say, new creation in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
You know, it was a reminder to me. And it just ingrained on the inside of me of who I was changed to be and who I became. And after I started understanding that, and then all at once, you know, I knew God called me to pastor. And as soon as I accepted that, how many know you got to accept what God tells you? And then, okay, I'm a pastor. Well, it took me a while to figure out that I was also an anointed pastor
Amen.
Already. I was a pastor who got revelation because the Bible guaranteed it for me. So it wasn't necessarily me waiting on God like we think sometimes. It was God waiting on me to get a clue of the giftings that he placed on the inside of me, that if I just agreed with who he'd made me on the inside,
Amen.
Then basically I could start walking in that stuff that
Amen.
I was made.
And, you know, it's so important because we want to work for that place. And he's already given us that place. We need to believe in that place.
We want the credit.
And we want to do all these things to get us there. But God says, just trust in me and believe what I say, you know, in who you are. And the more I believe in the word, the more I follow it, actually. Mm-hmm. You know, like I know it's the voice that speaks to me when I'm unsure about something, a word will come in my mind. Mm-hmm. And that's what God wants for us. It's not, you know, I tried to explain even to the girls, it's not like, oh my God, I walk around and I'm like, oh, holy, 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 like the way people think. No, it's just that there's so much of, there's more of him, his word in me than me falling for what the world is doing these days. I used to rely on the world, how I feel, my natural senses. Today, I start with my spiritual senses. Okay, God, if that is what it appears to be, let me pray on this. Let me find a word about this. Let me, you know, fill myself up with you, put you at the center of whatever this is, you know, for me. So, but I used to look for my identity in people, places, and things all the time. So I was being, we talk about Romans 12, too, being renewed in the mind. Mm-hmm. We could be renewed in the mind of anything.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
And you are being renewed in the mind.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah. Uh-huh. All the time. We were born that way, right? To be filled up with whatever our environment is, whatever. You know, so I was. I believed what the world was saying and what people around me, their belief systems. And that's why I had to get, that's why God says you become a new, everything's washed away.
All things passed away. Yeah.
That's like the cleanest moment of your life when you get born again. Mm-hmm.
Until you start dragging the old part of your old life back into your life, then it gets all muddled.
Oh my gosh! Yes.
Yeah.
And it says in Romans, "For by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners; so by one man's obedience, many were made righteous." So if this is like new to you and you're listening in, like, who? How do they say they're righteous? Well, He made us righteous.
Amen.
Agreeing with what God did to us.
And it was all by the cross. I mean, your salvation came by the cross, and the blood also provided for you to become a new creation and made a righteous creation. Mm-hmm. So righteousness basically means, it's not really a religious term. It's a governmental term.
Right. Yeah,
and it
amen.
Basically means that you've been put back in right standing with God. And you may try to get put back in right standing, but you're never going to get there. So you might as well go through the blood and through your salvation and find out that you're now back in right standing with God. Mm-hmm. So now I can come boldly to the throne, and I can talk to God on a daily basis. I don't have to feel guilty or condemned or like a lowlife or anything else, because I've been made His son and His daughter, if you're a daughter,
you're a
and
citizen.
Basically we're a citizen of the kingdom
Amen.
Of God. So, and all this stuff that was done has been done by Jesus. None of it has been done by you.
Mm-mm.
And people get so mad at you when you claim this stuff in the church that, how are you today? Well, I'm righteous and I'm holy. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
What is the matter with you? I ain't going there. That place is boastful in it. No, I'm just claiming what God did for me. It's definitely not a sin to claim what God says. It can't possibly be. So I'm just going to claim what God has said about me, and I'm going to walk in it, even like a natural baby. I mean, you tell your natural son or daughter that they're no good and going to end up in jail. I got news for you. But when they're 15 years old, they're probably going to end up in jail before it's over with, and they understand they're not very good because they have no idea who they are until their mind is shaped in this natural world. Well, it's the same way in the kingdom of God. You have to find out from the person who made you, not from anybody else,
right.
Not from your parents, not even from your pastor, unless he's given you the word of God or anybody else. You get it from what God tells you that you are and who you have become by the miracle of the new birth.
Amen. And, you know, God provided everything it is to be a citizen, to be an heir with Christ, to God's kingdom, right? To be His child. He gave me everything I need to learn how to walk, talk, behave as His child.
What?
I'm just picking on James.
You know? I'm like, what? So it's really important, because if I don't know how to, what is it like in the, that's why Jesus said it's the kingdom of heaven is like. He's trying to bring us, and you know, it takes Jesus to connect us to the kingdom of heaven. Otherwise, no matter how much we look, and we can say we have all these different gods in the world, but they're not God. It's not the one true God, because only Jesus, accepting Jesus, can connect us to the heavenly things. God wants us to have the heavenly access to everything, to be able to, because He wants to bring down heaven here on earth, and the only way He could do that is through a human vessel. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's His fruit. He tells us to be fruitful, to multiply. Be fruitful and multiply. He wants to multiply Himself through us. You know, His love. He wants to multiply love, joy, peace. These are the attributes, the character of who God is, who dwells in us through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God's character inside of us. But if we don't understand the Holy Spirit, we're not listening to him, we can't grow and manifest God's Father God. So that other people, you know, people, it's attractive when you have peace. It's attractive to people when you're not responding the way they normally see other people respond, which is, you know, out of anger or, you know, unforgiveness. When you come to them, that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to go against the wave. Mm-hmm. You know, like when the fish turns the opposite way. That's exactly what it mm-hmm. is.
Yeah, and in 2 Peter chapter 1, it says, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him Amen. That has called us to glory and virtue. Now verse 4 says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these great and precious promises you might be partakers Hallelujah. Of the divine nature, or take part in the divine nature. Now the last verse says, having escaped the corruption that was in the world Amen. Through lust. Well, in all my lifetime, for the first 5, 6, 7 years of being born again, I spent all my time trying to escape the corruption that was in the world through lust in order to take on the divine nature. But this tells you, if you'll just partake of the divine nature, you'll escape the sin that's in the – I was doing it backwards yeah. is what I was doing. And it wasn't working. I couldn't take on the nature because I couldn't get rid of the corrupt. Right. But when I took on the nature, the corrupt just left.
Amen.
It's like if you walk into a dark room. You know, it's going to be dark, but you turn on the light.
That's it.
Darkness goes.
Amen.
And it was the same way. So as I start to partake of – now notice your divine nature is there, but it's up to you.
That's right.
Whether you're going to take part in the divine nature that God has already given you. That's entirely up to you. If you want to be a sinner, you go ahead and claim to be a sinner. You can claim to be a loser, claim to be a druggie, claim to be anything you want to be. But as a man thinks in his heart, that's the way he's going to be, and that's where you're going to be. But that's not who you are. See, you're faking it.
Amen.
You're trying to be somebody that you're not. So all I started to do is partake of his divine nature, and then I started escaping the corruption that was in my life and the world all around me. And I just had it backwards is all. When I switched it out, it worked.
And, you know, that's so good, because even no matter how much we slice it, no matter how much I try to slice it, because I didn't know him and I didn't partake in his divine nature, I was always lusting for things. So even if I thought I was in love, it was lust. Even if I, you know, everything was out of the lust, prideful, selfish, self-centered. What can I get? How much can I get? Who's going to try to take it away from me? Personality, you know, identity. No matter how much I tried to say, I had some really nice times in my life. But everything I did before Christ was out of lust. It was a lustful desire. Mm-hmm. You know, even my best memories, none of it was, you know, partaking from him, which changed everything. Because I was sober before I met Jesus, before I accepted Jesus. Jesus was always, you know, there. I mean, I had a religion, but it wasn't, you know, it was a religion, not a relationship. But I still didn't partake. I didn't know him. I didn't have him in my life. I didn't have a relationship with him.
Yep.
So even though I was not drinking, I wasn't being filled properly.
Mm-hmm.
So it means nothing until I started to be filled by him, partake in his riches and goodness and promises and everything he says.
Yeah, you were just sad rather than being a sad drunk.
Yeah.
I mean, it was the same way that you were doing, even though that you were born again at the same time. It didn't make any difference. But
yeah,
it makes a difference on your change. And even as far as lust goes, after I got born again, I lusted to be like God, to mm-hmm. be more like God.
Mm-hmm.
And I went after it. But the more I lusted for it, and it was a good motive, good intention, but I couldn't do it the way I was doing it. So basically, I was doing dead works,
Amen.
Which was really
right.
worthless. I was lusting. God, make me more like you. I mm-hmm. want to be more like you.
Mm-hmm.
And God kept saying, you are like me. I don't know why you keep praying that stupid prayer. I don't know why you keep coming, you know, and then there's songs out there do the same thing. Make me more like you. And God's saying, I did already,
yeah.
you know, and God can't do nothing until you make that change and understand what he's already did for you. And we've got to understand that on the cross, I'm telling you, everything that you'll ever need, ever want has already been done for us back there 2,000 years ago.
Amen.
And that's where I stake my claim. Righteousness, 2,000 years ago. Are you healed? 2,000 years
that's
ago.
Right.
Are you blessed? 2,000 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Are you anointed? 2,000 years ago.
Amen.
You know, that's when it takes place, because when the feelings and emotions come, or the devil, you know, when Jesus basically got baptized in the Holy Ghost, the first thing the devil says, if you be the Son of God, what did he do? He attacked identity, didn't he? He went after God's identity, and Jesus trying to talk Jesus out of being the Son of God. If you are, well, of course, it didn't work with Jesus, because he just used it is written to get out of it. And we can do the same thing. The devil said, well, I thought you were righteous, and yet you failed yesterday. And you just got to say, well, it is written.
Right.
I am the righteousness of God in Christ, and that's who I am.
That's right.
Yep.
And when did it happen? At the cross.
At the cross.
Woo!
At the cross.
Yeah, and you know, it's like some of the songs that you were saying, like we just, and it's almost like they're designed for the one word to be changed. And instead of saying, like, bring revival, we are the revival. You know,
there's revival.
There is revival.
Yep.
We don't need to wait for it. It's in you. Revival's inside of you. And this might sound different to people, but it's the truth. It's the truth. Everything that you need today for anything that you're going through, if you've been born again, you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit is indwelling inside of you. You can go to Him, and He will lead and guide you to a scripture, to maybe, you know, if you have a hard time reading right away, go listen to the Bible. Do something that brings word into you. Because as soon as you let that door open, the light will come on. As soon as you, but you have to put the switch on. You got to open the door to get at least the other room's light. And then you could see the light switch. Then you could put that on and have full room light. And it's, you know, that's why even that scripture, when you do deliverance, you got to fill up the room with God's word. Otherwise, you have empty space in there. And something's going to want to take up that space. And if you're not exposing yourself to God and being in His presence through His word, something else is going to try to infiltrate that territory.
It's giving the whole heart.
Yeah.
People get pieces a lot of times.
Yeah, and then in 2 Corinthians in chapter 6, it talks about the two different people, which is pretty interesting because it shows you who you were before and who you are now and how far apart you are from the toes. It tells you to be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? Well, none. And what communion has light with darkness? None. And what concord has Christ with the devil? None. And what part has a believer with an infidel? None. So what Paul's trying to do is explain to you how far you came during that miracle, that you are not, you're not a hybrid person. You're not half sinner, half righteous. You're not half blessed, half unblessed. No, you made the step over. The Bible says you already have everlasting life. You're not going to get it down the road someplace. It's already been given to you. So when he starts to explain this stuff to you, you start to understand who you really are.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, it gives you an attitude adjustment. There's something about being a winner rather than being a loser that does something for your attitude and your whole being.
It automatically brings joy.
Yeah, it makes you feel good, you know?
Yeah.
You mean I've been a loser? I thought I'd been a loser for 40 years and I found out I'm a winner? That's pretty good. I'm feeling pretty good. I'm more than a conqueror, the Bible says. Well, I am. Well, how do you know you are? Because He said you are. Do you feel like one? No, I don't feel like one, but it doesn't matter because He says that I'm more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. And now He tells you other things. You know, you have the peace of God.
Amen.
Well, the Bible says the world didn't give you the peace. And the world can't take it away. Well, if it's the world giving you peace, that's why it's being taken away.
Uh-huh.
See, you're making a mistake there. Your peace comes from God, who gave peace on the inside of you, because you can walk in victory in every single area of your life right now.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got to start understanding who you are and what He did for you. And this is what really is praise and worship's all about.
That's right.
Sometimes we praise and worship just because we're supposed to. But when you find out everything that He provided for you, I mean, it's going to be very hard for you not to praise and worship for all the things that He did. And if you still believe you're the old person and nothing's changed and things are still bad and I don't have any money and nothing's working out, it's very hard to praise God because you think He's responsible.
Yep.
But He's not. He's already provided it for you. And now you can step into any of those things simply by agreement. If two of you agree, if you come to agreement with everything God did for you, you will start walking in those things in your life. And pretty soon the loser will find out he's a winner and the victim will find out he's a victor.
Yep.
And once you start walking in victory in every single area of your life, it's available.
And the victim flees. You see, that's the thing. The only thing that can take is it's a mindset. The only thing that can change your mind from where God is ungodly things. So thoughts, it's usually unbelief. You're believing a lie when you're not in line with God's word about who you are. Because if it's a negative thing about you, God doesn't do that. He doesn't make junk, every person that's listening right now, God created you. God created you whether you believe or not in him. He wants you to come to him. So receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior is access to your position and the purpose of your life here on earth. So if you're questioning all that, it's the way into knowing who you are in him, how God created you, your creator, is through Jesus Christ. So, and then the Holy Spirit will come and he will teach you. He will even, you know, you were talking earlier about how the word is what judges me, not a person, not a place, not a thing. Mm-hmm. The word judges me. And when I'm ready, God will give me the conviction, not condemnation. There's a difference, and it's a mindset difference because it could feel the same. But if you know him, then you know it's coming out of love. And you don't get offensive. You don't get shame connected to it. You get freedom. You get like, I got to change that. You get a willingness to be open, to be more of who you're supposed to be and less of that old junk. Mm-hmm. You know, there was a movie when my daughter was young, Labyrinth, and at the end of the movie, this old lady, she's hunched down, but she has like boxes and all her junk, her whole life is on her back. Mm. And she's walking. I used to tease my, it wasn't very nice. I used to be, that's going to be you. But that's when I was a witch. I'm not a witch. I'm beautifully and wonderfully made. I'm holy and righteous today. But when I was that way, I'd be like, that's you. And she would cry and everything. But that's like life. You come in and he's like, get all that off of you. You don't need to put that on anymore. You don't have to put on that backpack that's full of junk. Because you're not junk and you don't need it. Because everything he has for you, first of all, is purposeful. You don't need to worry about, I have to save this because I might need it. No. Everything's for right now with God. He'll give you what you need. You couldn't save manna, you know, and you couldn't do that. It's for to this moment. If you live in the moment, there's a great freedom in that too. I mean, yes, we want to plan certain things and you know, have manage, I'll say. I like to look at it as managing my life properly, mm-hmm. you know. But he doesn't want us worrying about 3 days from now or anything. He wants us to stay in this moment because I might miss what I need for 3 days from now mm-hmm. if I'm not in present with him.
Yeah. And everybody wants to fight to get rid of everything out here. And they say, God's working on me, but he's not. He's working in you. And the Bible tells you to work out your salvation. Mm-hmm. Now, the only reason why you can work out your total salvation is probably because your salvation's in to begin with to work it out. I mean, I know that's pretty deep. You might want to write that down, but yeah, everything you need is already on the inside of you, and you're working out the peace and the joy.
Amen.
And as you spend time in the promises of God, they'll start to become real to you, and then the next thing that'll happen, they'll start coming out of your mouth.
Amen.
Because out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth is naturally going to start to speak. So all at once, I was no longer trying to be a pastor. I was. I was no longer trying to be anointed pastor. I was an anointed pastor. And I studied those scriptures, and I talked like I was anointed pastor. I talk. I tell people in church all the time, I have no more bad days. Those bad days
That's
are
right.
gone. I'm the most patient man in the world. Mm-hmm. And people say, how can you say that? Because I am. As long as I believe it, then I'm patient. And it seems like that makes the adjustment in your life to where you can easily walk into those things right. rather than try. Now, before I understood this, if I'd have an anger fit, I'd get down on myself. Oh, gosh, there I go again. I know I'm not supposed to get mm-hmm. angry. I'm never going to get angry again, but I'm so sick and tired of being an angry man. I just wish God would do something to not make me an angry man. Mm. If he just do something in my life to make me not an angry man, I wouldn't get angry anymore. And God's up there all the time saying, well, when are you going to get it? I didn't make you mm-hmm. an angry man. I killed the angry man, and now you're not an angry man, but you keep agreeing with the angry man and dragging that baggage in the angry, and now you want to be angry, and I can't do anything for you because I've already right. did everything for you.
Amen.
So I was fighting myself, actually. Yeah. It was Amen. A one-on-one fight.
Amen. And you know, it's you line up after, because like words like obey, you know, that's love and reverence today. So for me, I don't see it that way. Like everything changes when you start to really sit with the Lord and let him lead and guide, teach you, you know, about the word. When I first came into the kingdom of God as a born again new Christian, I went to Catholic school and I didn't know how to read a Bible. I didn't even understand a Bible. The only time I ever opened a Bible, I would fumble through it maybe at church, but I started with a kid's Bible. And from there, as my faith grew, as I got, I was being fed hunger and thirst for him. We're going to hunger and thirst for something. We're designed that way. Mm-hmm. He created us to be hungry and thirsty to survive. So what am I eating? What am I drinking? Is it the Word of God and the Holy Spirit? Because those are, that's how he explains hunger, the water and food, right? Is the Word and the living water is inside of me, the Holy Spirit. So if I'm living off of spiritual things, right? Because it's the spirit man that's the lost part of who we are until we get born again. That's what we're dead. We're living out of flesh and mind, soul, mm-hmm. basically. And then he wakes us up from death. He brings us alive, and we have an opportunity to step into a whole other realm. So I challenge everybody: step into the realm, the heavenly realm. Into the Word. Every time I read the Word, I'm in heaven. I'm in a heavenly realm with the Father because he's talking to me. He's talking to you. He's talking to everybody. I'm not, he did it for all of us. First the Jew, then the Gentiles. So we're all, he died for everybody. Unfortunately, not everybody wants to be in his family. And that's really, it's a choice for us. And our, as children of God, we're supposed to go out like Jesus told us, and make disciples and bring people in. So,
and not only made back into his image and likeness, but the Bible says that we have dominion now, which
Hallelujah.
Is authority. And authority, if you look at it in the Bible, is basically is the thing that gives us the right to choose. Mm-hmm. So with my authority, I can choose things now. And first thing I want to choose is my own identity that now mm-hmm. belongs to me. So I can choose the righteousness of God in Christ because it was provided for me. But you're the one that has to make that choice in your life to be the person that God had already made you to be. It's entirely up to you. Because if not, you're going to take on another identity. We see the world right now struggling with identity. A lot of the problems in the world today have to do with identity. I mean, you got young kids who grow up, they have no identity, so they end up in a gang. Why? Because they want to be part of the South Side Hustlers or this
yeah.
to have an identity.
Right.
You've got people fighting mm-hmm. because of their skin color. Well, I'm a black man. I'm a white man. Well, I'm a new creation man. And if everybody's a new creation man, and like in Galatians, it basically says only one thing matters in the kingdom of God, and that is a new creation. So everybody either is or they're not. One or the other. You're either born again, you've either accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've been born again in your new creation, or you're not.
Right.
So you've got to make up your mind. If you did, then be what you should be. And I judge everybody like that when I talk. If they're a new creation, great. If they're not, I want to invite them
yes,
to become
yes.
a new creation. But I don't care what color their skin is. I don't care what their nationality is. I don't care what denomination they are.
Exactly.
I don't care any of that stuff. That's all people looking for identifications out there because everybody gravitates towards some kind of identification. So I want God's identification, and after that, all the identifications other than that really don't make mm-hmm. any bit of difference mm-hmm. at all. We just love everybody where they're at and, you know, hopefully bring some more people into the kingdom of God.
Amen. And, yeah. you know, Jesus tells us that he has all authority, and then he says, I give you in my name, you will, not you're going to, well, maybe. Sometimes, no, you will cast out demons, raise the dead, heal the sick. I mean, this is a mandate. This is a very important mandate for us because he gave us the authority and the power, the ability, not only the speaking word, we get to speak his name in Jesus' name, but he gave us the Holy Spirit power to be able to lay our hands, take an action. Not only just speak things, you know, I could say I'm sorry till the cows come home, but I gotta be I'm sorry. It's an action that comes with those words. So he gave us the fullness of who he is to be able to operate in our fullness, spirit, soul, and body. He needs every part of who we are like we need every part of who he is, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We want fullness of God. The fullness of who I am is what he's looking for. Because if I just wanna say I'm going to just say words and speak the scriptures, then that's fine. But if I'm not living the scriptures or, mm-hmm. you know, manifesting what I'm saying, then I'm only living partially mm-hmm. the way God created me to live.
Yeah, and the only way you can live them is by becoming who you really
Amen.
Are and doing it. You can't try your best to do this stuff. You couldn't get saved and try your best to do that. One of the scriptures, I think it was last Sunday, the Sunday before I gave, that helped everybody very much, mm-hmm. was in Matthew chapter 12, and in verse 33 it says, either make the tree good
oh, yes.
and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for the tree will be known by its fruit. So when I first got born again, I was trying to change my fruit. In other words, I was trying to get rid of anger, lying, cussing, drinking, all these things. Mm-hmm. I was trying to change the fruit, and every time I seemed to conquer anger, and then I'd be struggling with the next thing. By the time I came back, there was another fruit on there of anger again. And then by the time I got rid of anger, then a lying would be over here, and I'd attack lying, and it'd grow back again and again. And then I read this scripture here, and it says, no, that's not the way you get rid of the fruit. If you make the tree good, the fruit will be good.
That's right.
So when I change that, I don't lie. I'm not a liar. Right. I'm not a steal. I'm not mm-hmm. a cusser. I'm not
an
alcoholic.
Identify the tree.
I'm not. Yeah. As long as I change the tree, mm-hmm. then the fruit on the tree has to produce
Amen.
What the tree is. So basically, in your life, you don't need to change the fruit if it's bad. You need to change the tree.
Amen.
And as you change the tree, the fruit will change, and you'll start to see yourself holy and righteous and mm-hmm. powerful and blessed and anointed. Because that's who you are, and that's what will get rid of the bad fruit that you've been picking off one at a time, putting them in the bushel basket and picking them off while they rot again and doing it over and over again. You'd be picking fruit the rest of your life, and it's not the fruit that you want to pick.
Yeah. Picking it and then throwing it at other people.
Yeah, throwing it at other people. Yeah.
You know, it's so true, and it's so good because the tree, the bark, the whole, the root of where the fruit's coming from is the issue. It's a heart matter, and God wants to deal with our heart, you know, and make it a fleshly heart like His. He wants His heart to be operating through us, you know, and that's why we get compassion. Like when I see people today, it's not about flesh and blood anymore. It really isn't, mm-hmm. you know. Like even when people offend, well, it appears that they're offending me because they are, but it's not the person. You know, it's a spiritual thing. It's who they're believing. They're believing a lie, mm-hmm. you know. And it's the way we respond, you see, that can speak louder than words. Rather than responding with a negative response, try to do something in love or in kindness because that's really what anger is looking for. Love. You know, mm-hmm. and nobody wants to be bound in anger. They're being tormented. People are being tormented. So,
and it's really tormenting to know that you should be doing better because you're born again. Because before you were born again and you had the old nature in you and you sinned, it really didn't even bother you that much because that's who you were.
Yeah.
But once you got born again and got God's nature on the inside of you mm-hmm. and you sinned, it was bad because you knew in your heart that mm-hmm. you were doing wrong and you were feeling guilty and condemned when you did bad. So it was difficult. And in Colossians, let me read this one yet, chapter 1. Verse 21 says, "And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now has God reconciled in the body of His flesh through Jesus Christ to death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in God's sight."
Hallelujah.
Now, the first time I read that, I thought it had to be a misprint. Because basically it was telling me that I was holy, unreprovable, and unblameable in God's sight. That's the way God saw me.
Mm-hmm.
So after a couple of weeks of trying to talk God out of it and tell Him who I really was, and it wasn't working, God finally convinced me that His word was true and that's who I was.
Amen.
Well, that was hard for me to believe. I mean, I couldn't even tell anybody that, for gosh sakes. I'd be maligned for, "How are you today?" "Well, I'm holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in God's sight."
Yeah.
Well, that'd have been the end of that church, and I had to find another one. But that's what the Bible says. And notice, it's not God cites the problem. It's not how God sees us. It's not how God thinks about us. It's how we see ourselves.
Amen.
And when we line up with God, once again, God's trying to bring our thought level up to His thought level. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. Mm-hmm. But that don't mean you can't bring your thoughts up through the Word of God to His thoughts.
Right.
He didn't tell you, well, that's just it. You're going to be, you know, dumb the rest of your life, and it's not going to work. So the Word of God will bring our thought level up to His, and then our thoughts will become our ways, mm-hmm. and His thoughts, we will do His ways, which is His fruit, which is all the good things that we're trying to get anyway.
That's right. It's everything He tells us to be. And, you know, it's, the thing is, we're always believing. What are we believing as far as who we are? You know, is it with what the world, the people around us say? So one of the things I wanted to say was that, where was I? Oh, identity. I wanted to give the definition of identity. It says name, the fact of being who or what a person or thing is. So, you know, I declare who I am when I speak to another person, or I can allow that person to do it for me, or I can declare what God says about me. You know, so like I was saying before, if I'm getting a report that doesn't line up with what God says about me, then I have to know a word that can go rebuke that. That's what God says, rebuke that. Step behind him, Satan. He was just saying, you're not lining up with my image. You know, when Peter was in front of him face to face, that's not how I sound. Mm-hmm. And that's what he wants. And you know what? When you start using the word to correct lovingly people and what they're saying, they start to notice, because you're not doing it in an aggressive way. You're doing it with the word of God. No, the word says that I shall not die and I shall. And they thought I was crazy at first. But then what happened? Because the renewing of mine and my body started to transform. Mm-hmm. It started to manifest on the outside. And then today, even when I go, because I go for checkups, because we want to be responsible human beings. I'm, you know, we have to be responsible. He laughs with me. He's like, I'm not the draw. I said, nope. I'm healed. Mm-hmm. And so now it's like the ongoing, it's a joyful meeting when I go. Even the nurses, because everybody knows, you know, how I behaved while I was there. Mm-hmm. So, and they can see a difference, you know, especially when you're around a lot of darkness. You want to bring the light. When I had to go there, I thought to myself, how can I bring, I would bring like little treats, you know, do something that is off the beaten path of a very gloomy place, you know. So it is about being human being. How are you being today as a human?
And I know a lot of times you guys, you know, you get into unforgiveness and that kind of stuff. And basically, if you know who you are and your identity, you won't have to deal with that stuff anymore. Yeah. Because even if they tell you you're stupid, it doesn't matter because you know you're not. You know? Even if they tell you you're rotten, you don't have to deal with that because
right.
You know who
you're
you already
loser.
Are. Now, if you're wondering if you're rotten and they're telling you you're rotten,
then
now you're starting to feel rotten and you're thinking maybe they're right that you're rotten, mm-hmm. and then you're going to get mad at them. But once you know your identity, really it doesn't – and the old man's dead, mm-hmm. they can't convince you of anything anyway. They're not doing it. You're just saying with it. It's like somebody come up and saying you're a woman. No, I'm not a woman. I'm a man.
That's
I don't
right.
have to pray about it for 2 weeks to see if you're right or not. I know who I am. Well, it's the same way with the things that people may say,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes they say it – you know, not out of purpose, but just the way they talk. But still, it keeps you from getting offended because you know who you are. You're exactly who God said that you are. And the main thing is, in my heart, I want people who are born again to live a good, joyful life. I want you to be full of joy and full of happiness and full of peace. And because you're living in such a great time and you're here now for a specific purpose. You're just didn't wander in at this day and this hour mm-hmm. in 2025 with nothing to do. And I'm just going to wait till I get to heaven because they told me I'm going to heaven when I got saved 40 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
No, there's a plan of God and a purpose of God for you today.
Amen.
And if you really go after that and start to seek that and jump into revival, things will start to change in your life. Your relationship with God will change. The giftings that God has placed on the inside of you will start to operate. And you're going to see, first of all, you change, and people around you won't be able to help it.
That's right.
They'll start to change at the same time. And you will be effective while you're here on this earth because, you know, as you get older, you find out that time goes pretty fast.
Yes, it does.
And you find out there ain't a whole lot of time left. Well, you don't want to be wasting time and hours and whatever. You're here for a purpose other than just going to heaven. You're here basically to get other people into the kingdom of God. You're here to destroy the works of the devil. And you can't do all that stuff if you're so full of yourself and your own problems
uh-huh.
and you're so rotten and a sinner and everything else. You can't help anybody else. You're always trying to have somebody help you. Well, now it's time to put on your big boy panties and basically start walking in the things of God.
Amen.
And in the anointing and power that God has given you. Take your place. There's nothing better than to be in the will of God. Nothing. Nothing on this. I don't care. $1 million of the will of God.
That's
I'll
right.
take the will of God any day of the week because that's what we're here for. We're like at a job.
Yeah.
You know, and we've been here 50, 60, 70 years. Maybe we're going to be here 80 years, but then that job's going to come to an end.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to waste any days not doing the job that I was put here to do and why I was created to be here in this day and this hour. And that's why you're here right now. There's a purpose for you right
Hallelujah.
Now.
Hallelujah. So, yes, there is.
Yep.
There is a purpose. You know, you were talking about died. You're not affected when you know you would die to all that old stuff that maybe, you know, someone would call me something that I used to be. But if that's not all. It just happened last time I was in New York, my own kid. You know, she was very angry. It wasn't, you know, I know it's not what she meant, but she said some things, and I looked at her, I'm like, I already died to all that. It ended everything, because I'm like, oh, I'm glad I'm dead to all that, because nothing penetrated me. You know, it didn't affect me, because it's not who I am. I don't even know that person. So I let that person just, you know, my daughter say what she needed to say, and then I went, And you know what I did? I bought a couple of things and I left it at her front door to show her that I love her, you know, and that's it. You know, I didn't respond. I gave it a couple of days and it's over. But it's a lifestyle change. You know, my character, it changes my life when I know who I am in him. Everything changed for me. Everything. Like, there's nothing in my life that's the same. Absolutely nothing. Mm-hmm. You know, my thinking, the way I speak, the way I live. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's sort of like being, I always think of it, because I like watching the mob movies and those things. I don't know why, but I just like it. And bless me, Father, for I have sinned, probably. But I like watching them, and they put people who testify against them in something they call protective custody.
Uh-huh.
Well, at that time, they get a new name, they get a new location, they get a new social number, they get everything different. Yep. And they cannot relay back to their old life, because if they do, they're going to get hunted down and they're going to get killed. Well, it's the same way when you got born again. You were put in God's protective custody, and you've got to stop claiming things that aren't yours. You've got to stop claiming that you're a loser.
I don't know who that person.
Claiming that you're terrible, claiming that you're a sickly person, claiming that you're a failure. You've got to stop that, because that's who you used to be, but now you're in God's protective custody, and you start understanding who you are through the Word of God, and you don't want to go back to that old guy. You don't want to go there. Praise God.
And just to add to what you say, you usually say to, and if somebody calls you, hey, Tom, you're like, I don't even know who Tom is.
Yeah, I'm not Tom. I'm Jonah.
I don't know who you're talking about.
I don't know Tom. Tom who? I've never heard of him before. That's it. So when sin calls you, hey, sin anymore. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. Who are you talking to? You must be talking to James, because it's certainly not me who's doing that. Praise God.
Amen, right? It's a true identity change. It's not the same at all. I just want to read one more scripture before we pray out, and it's Colossians 3:12-17. It says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. And that's where praise and worship comes in. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So we have to put on Christ every day. You just put on Christ. Don't put on that old stuff. Put on Christ. And it's a lifestyle. So with that, Pastor, you want to pray?
And Christ is love, basically.
And, yes, love,
and we're made in the image of him, so you can claim to be a lover today.
Amen.
Father, I thank you for the people who listen today. I thank you for changing our hearts and our minds and lining us up with your word. I thank you for the changing that you're doing in our minds, in our mouths, and in our lives. Father, we just want to fulfill what you put us here to do, fulfill the calling that you put, our purpose and our plan. And we thank you for your Holy Spirit and all the gifts that you've given us. And we give you the praise for it in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. Shalom, shalom.
Amen. Amen.
Romans 12:2 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Tune in again next Friday at 5 p.m. to hear and experience another level of God's transforming power, where the truth makes you free. For more information about Kingdom Recovery, I can be reached at 631-745-7980.
All the glory to the God of love. All the glory to the God of love.
Hi there, this is John Nelson with FamiliesRecover.org. We offer hope and support for families being torn apart by addiction, enabling healthy decision-making that leads to a productive and meaningful lives. You can reach us at 772-285-5828.
So you're pregnant, and suddenly your whole life changed. You want to be joyful, but you're also afraid and anxious. How do you deal with this? Where do you go for help? CareNet Pregnancy Services of the Treasure Coast is here for you. We give compassionate counsel, helpful education and referrals so that you can make the best decision. There is no charge for our confidential services, and we will ensure that you enjoy security and strong support from the CareNet family. Reach out to us today at 772-828-3168.
This is Mary Lee from Vero Web Consulting. We help businesses design smarter processes using AI where it helps while keeping people at the center. It starts with a strategic assessment. We study how your organization works, then build AI and digital tools that support your team, not replace it. Whether it's automation, decision support, or systems that talk to each other, we make it work for you. Visit VeroWebConsulting.com or call 772-268-2072 to schedule your assessment.
What are the key elements to being a Christian? Well, you